Welcome back, everyone. For today's deep dive, we're going to be exploring the life of Christos Demetsiris.
Okay.
And you're probably thinking, who? Right. Well, I'd never heard of him either until I came across this biography written by his grandson.
Wow.
And the title just immediately grabbed me, The Salt and the Sea. I mean, what does that make you think of?
Oh, gosh. So many things. Hardship, for sure. Maybe adventure. A life deeply connected to, well, the sea, obviously.
Exactly. And all of that set against the backdrop of early 1800s Greece.
Oh, wow.
Under Ottoman rule.
A fascinating and turbulent period.
It is. So we know right away, this isn't just a personal story. It's going to be interwoven with history.
Absolutely. And speaking of history, this story actually starts even before Christos is born, with his grandfather, Nikolaos Koutsonikas, and the family was forced to change their name to Matsiris.
Matsiris.
Which means, get this, murderer of Turks.
Wow. I mean, just think about the weight of carrying a name like that, a name that's been forced upon you. What a powerful statement about what was happening in Greece at that time. Can you give us some context?
Well, Greece had been under Ottoman rule for centuries.
Right.
And resistance to that rule was fierce. Hmm. So the Koutsonikas family, they were part of that resistance.
I see.
Now, changing their name is probably partly a survival tactic to blend in, you know?
Right.
But you can also see it as an act of defiance. Like, they're refusing to completely erase their identity.
Hmm. It's almost like a hidden message.
Exactly. And this practice of changing names, sadly, it was quite common back then. Just shows you the power dynamics at play.
Yeah. It's hard to fathom being forced to give up your family name like that.
Yeah.
Especially one that's been passed down, you know, through generations.
Absolutely. But even in that forced change, you see the resilience of the Greek people. They were resisting in any way they could.
That's so powerful. And that resilience is definitely tested when the family has to escape from their village, Karakoli.
Oh, yes.
Which is under attack.
Yeah.
It's chaos. There's separation, uncertainty.
It's a stark reminder of how quickly life can change and the scars that conflict leaves behind.
Reading that section, what really stuck with me was the description of families being separated during the escape.
Mm.
Like, how do you think an experience like that shapes a family's identity, even generations later, you know?
Trauma like that, it echoes through families, through time. It shapes their values, their fears, how they see the world.
Mm.
And even though Christos wasn't alive during the escape,
this
history, this conflict, this displacement,
it
hangs over his life. It becomes part of him.
And then you add in the fact that he had this incredibly difficult childhood on top of everything else.
It's unbelievable, right?
I mean, orphaned by age 6.
Yes. And then after his parents die, he's just shuffled between relatives who could care less about him.
Really?
They just wanted his inheritance. It's heartbreaking.
I can't even imagine being that young and having to fend for yourself in a world like that.
And the world offered him very little protection.
It didn't, did it? There are these moments in the biography that are just, gosh, really hard to read. Like when he finds solace under the school steps, or when he runs away only to be driven back by hunger. I mean, talk about a stark picture of what life was like for so many children back then.
Yeah.
Especially those with no safety net, no one to look out for them.
It's a harsh reality. Poverty was widespread. And there just weren't any social systems in place to protect vulnerable children.
And it makes you wonder, were there any bright spots for him at all during those early years? Any acts of kindness? Anything that gave him a glimmer of hope?
There were a few individuals, people like Karabetsons and his wife.
Okay.
They gave him temporary shelter.
So at least he had that for a while.
It was a taste of family, of love and compassion. But it was short-lived.
Oh, what happened?
Turkish soldiers came and took everything from Karabetsos. They were bankrupt, couldn't care for Christos anymore.
It's like whenever things started looking up, something would happen.
It seemed that way. But despite all the setbacks, there were other encounters that show you how complex things were back then. You know, that not everyone was cruel.
Okay.
Like, take the boatman Yannis, good gruff guy. But he transported Christos to Corniesia.
Okay.
It was a pretty desolate island.
Oh, wow.
But then this old woman, Maria, she offered him work.
So even in that harsh environment?
Yes. Even amidst the hardship, these small acts of kindness made a difference.
I bet they did. But it sounds like it wasn't all kindness, right? He also faced some pretty serious exploitation.
Oh, absolutely. Especially at the fish farm in Juramero.
Yeah, that part was rough.
That fish farm.
Yeah.
It was isolated, exposed to the elements. It was like a microcosm of the world he lived in. You know, survival often came at a cost. And the overseer, old Vasilis.
Oh, yeah, he didn't sound pleasant.
He made Christos' life miserable.
It's just awful. And yet, in that environment, he somehow survives. Not only survives, but he becomes resourceful.
Yeah.
He did. And resilient, too. That story about bartering with the shepherd, risking danger just to get food, I mean, that really stood out to me.
You see him assessing risk, making tough choices, skills he had to learn fast.
He was forced to grow up quickly, wasn't he?
He was. Developed street smarts that most people wouldn't need until much later in life.
And then there's that incredible story about him smuggling olive oil.
Oh, that's good one.
Braving a storm at sea.
Yeah.
Outsmarting customs officials.
It shows you his courage and how he could think outside the box.
Absolutely. It's like these weren't these big heroic acts.
Yeah.
But in a way, they were acts of defiance.
Yes. Small acts of resistance.
Yeah.
They show us that even when you're facing oppression, you can still find ways to push back. To carve out a space for yourself.
Oh, it's amazing that he was able to do that.
It really is.
I mean, it's incredible to think about everything he went through before even reaching adulthood.
It is.
You know, it really lays the groundwork for who he becomes. You mentioned earlier that he never became hardened by all of these experiences.
Yeah.
So as he enters adulthood, how does that resilience show itself?
You see it in how he approaches life. He doesn't just sit back. He actively works to build a better future.
How so?
He finds work. He acquires land.
Aye.
And he even starts a family. He marries Christina, the daughter of Lambros of Foscus.
So he's creating a foundation.
Right. It's not just about settling down. It's about creating stability, hope, breaking free from that cycle of hardship that had defined his early years.
He's trying to build a life he never had.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder how his experiences with exploitation might have fueled that determination to provide for his family.
Oh, for sure.
He knew what it meant to be poor. To lack opportunity.
It's a reminder that the things we go through often shape our values in really profound ways.
They do.
But as we know, life rarely goes according to plan. And the outbreak of the Balkan Wars really disrupts this period of relative peace for Christos, doesn't it?
It does. And these weren't just some distant conflict. For Greece, these wars were about liberation from Ottoman rule.
I see.
Especially the First Balkan War in 1912.
Mm-hmm.
And like many others, Christos is conscripted into the army.
But his story isn't about, like, battlefield heroics or anything like that, is it?
No, not at all. It's much more personal. It gives you a glimpse into what war was really like for ordinary people.
Yeah. I was really struck by the description of his role as a scout nurse. Tending to the wounded, the dying.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of courage.
It is. It's compassion in the face of unimaginable suffering.
It's putting others first, even when surrounded by death.
Right. And it's interesting because he actually gets injured during the war himself.
He does.
Yeah. His horse throws him. He gets a serious wound.
Oh, no.
And at first, the doctor kind of dismisses it.
Seriously.
Which is just another reminder of how, even in a system like the army, individuals can get lost in the shuffle.
It's got to be demoralizing.
Yeah.
To be hurt serving your country. And then have your pain ignored like that?
Oh, absolutely. It really takes a toll on him. He even contemplates ending his own life at that point.
Wow. That's how low he felt.
It really shows you the psychological impact of war.
Yeah.
How it can make you feel hopeless, abandoned. But luckily, another doctor realizes how serious his wound is and has him transferred to a military hospital.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And he has surgery on St. Demetrio's feast day.
It's interesting how even in these really dark moments, there are these flickers of humanity, you know?
Yeah.
Little things that remind you there's still good in the world.
Yeah. But as he's recovering,
yeah,
another tragedy hits.
Oh, no. What happens?
Well, while he's in surgery, a telegram arrives at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Christina, who was pregnant, has died.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful.
She slipped and drowned while fetching water from the river.
On the same day he's having surgery.
The irony is just heartbreaking.
That's just honest. It's too much to fight so hard to build a life, to find love, start a family, and then have it all ripped away.
It's devastating.
It is. And what makes it even more tragic is that his fellow soldiers actually knew about Christina's death, but they didn't tell him.
They thought they were sparing him more pain.
I get that. But finding out later, I can't imagine how much that must have hurt.
Oh, it definitely added to his grief.
It would have. So how does he cope with this loss? Does he become bitter?
No. Not at all. Actually, he does something incredible. He returns Christina's dowry to her family.
Wow.
So her sisters could have a chance at a better life.
Even in his grief, he's thinking of others.
It really says a lot about his character.
Yeah, it would have been so easy to be consumed by bitterness. But instead, he chooses compassion.
And that compassion is not a one-time thing.
Really?
Throughout his life, you see him helping others, even when he's struggling himself. Later, during the Balkan Wars, he risks his life to ferry refugees to safety.
These acts of quiet heroism, they show that he never lost his empathy.
Right. The hardships he endured, they made him more attuned to the suffering of others.
I guess in a way, they made him more compassionate.
It's like adversity can do that, make you want to reach out and help.
And that compassion definitely extended to his own family. After Christina's death, he eventually remarries. And this marks a new chapter for him.
It does.
What can you tell us about this second marriage? Was it purely practical? Or was there something more to it?
Well, his friend, Giorgos Sakmakis, he knew Christos was lonely.
Makes sense.
So he arranged for him to meet Athena.
Okay.
She was one of seven daughters from a local family. But it wasn't like he was just looking for a replacement.
So it wasn't just about practicality.
Mm. While he was in the army, Christos had read a horoscope.
A horoscope.
And it predicted a wedding.
Mm.
At the time, he was already married, so he didn't think much of it.
But after Christina's death.
It takes on a new meaning, right?
It's like it was foreshadowing.
Exactly. And even when he meets Athena.
Yeah.
It's not love at first sight. He's worried she won't be strong enough.
To handle his life?
Yeah. All the hardship.
And then everything he'd been through. That's understandable.
It is. He don't want to burden anyone else.
But Athena's father assures him she's resilient, strong, and Giorgos vouches for her too.
And so they marry?
And this marriage, this becomes the foundation for his next chapter.
A chapter focused on family, building a future for his children.
He wants to give them what he didn't have, doesn't he?
He does. He makes sure his sons get a good education.
Okay.
Encourages them to pursue higher learning.
Wow.
And he gives his daughters generous dowries.
He's securing their future.
Yeah. He knows education is a pathway to a better life.
Right. But it wasn't just about material things, was it? He also taught his kids about the values that got him through his own hardships.
Hard work, honesty, respect, resilience, all of that.
He lived those values.
Absolutely. His entire life was a testament to overcoming adversity.
It makes you think about how our personal stories shape future generations.
They do.
He didn't just tell his kids about his struggles. He showed them what strength and resilience look like.
Right. It makes you wonder how those stories might have shaped how his kids saw the world.
It really does. You know, it's amazing what he accomplished. Not in a, you know, a big splashy way.
Right.
But just in the everyday act of building a life,
mm-hmm.
a family, a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else I wanted to touch on. This recurring presence of the sea.
Oh, yes.
It feels really significant, especially with the title of the biography being The Salt in the Sea.
It is, isn't it?
What do you think it symbolizes? What does that title evoke for you?
The sea, it's almost like a metaphor for Christos' life.
A metaphor? How so?
All the turbulence he experienced,
mm-hmm.
the storms he had to weather, but also his strength.
Okay.
His ability to navigate those rough waters and come out stronger on the other side.
It's like the sea itself. With its unpredictability, its challenges, it shaped him.
It definitely played a role.
But it wasn't the only thing, was it? There were also those moments of human connection.
Oh, absolutely.
Acts of kindness that even though they might seem small, they really impacted him.
Yeah, like Karabetsis and his wife, providing that brief haven. The boatman, Giannis, gruff but helpful. Even the bandits.
Oh, yeah, those bandits.
Sharing their food with him.
Yeah. You know, those moments scattered throughout the story, they really highlight how important those connections are.
Especially during hardship.
Right. They show us that even in a world filled with conflict and suffering,
yeah.
there's still room for empathy, for these little glimmers of grace, you know.
They keep you going.
They do. And of course, there's Athena.
His second wife?
Yeah. Their marriage, it was a true partnership.
It was. They supported each other through everything.
Yeah. Raising their kids, creating a stable home.
She was resilient.
Which Christos had initially doubted, right?
He did, yeah. But her strength was just as important as his in building their life together.
It's amazing.
It is.
To find someone who understands your journey, walks beside you, offering support.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what I find so inspiring about Christos' story. He never let his past define him.
Mm.
He could have easily given in to bitterness or despair, but he didn't.
He chose a different path.
He did. So as we wrap up this deep dive into his life, what stands out to you as the biggest takeaway?
I think he'd want us to remember that even when faced with incredible hardship, the human spirit can overcome. And he'd want us to recognize the power of kindness, those small acts of compassion that can make a world of difference.
It's the little things that matter.
They really do. And maybe most importantly,
he'd
want us to see that our lives have meaning, even if they don't make the history books. It's those everyday acts of courage, perseverance, love, compassion. That's what defines us.
His life really shows that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That resilience isn't about escaping hardship.
No.
But about learning from it, growing from it, using it to create a life that truly reflects who you are.
Exactly.
What do you think, listener? What resonates most with you about Christos's journey?
If you're intrigued by his story,
I'd
encourage you to check out the full biography.
It's definitely worth a read.
It gives you a glimpse into a time and place that's often forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful reminder of what the human spirit is capable of.
It is. And who knows, maybe it'll inspire you to explore your own family history.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Discover those hidden stories of resilience and triumph within your own family.
I love that.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the life of Christos Dimatziras.
Thanks for having me.
A man who faced incredible challenges, yet still managed to carve out a life filled with meaning and purpose. His story, much like the salt in the sea, it's both harsh and beautiful.
It is.
A reminder that the human spirit is capable of amazing things. So until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep seeking out those stories that remind us of just how extraordinary the ordinary can be.
Great advice.
Thanks.